The reading appointed for the epistle is from Acts chapter 11, beginning at verse 19. Acts 11:19. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to none except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number that believed turned to the Lord. News of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a large company was added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a large company of people. And in Antioch the disciples were for the first time called Christians. Now in these days prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. And this took place in the days of Claudius. And the disciples determined, every one according to his ability, to send relief to the brethren who lived in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. This is the word of the Lord. Well, last Sunday evening I was sharing from the scriptures some thoughts about how God displays his worldwide concern through his servant. This morning I would like us to think about how God displays his worldwide concern through a church. And the church that I would like us to look at is the church in Antioch. And the story of the church in Antioch was read to us in the epistle. It's a church famous for its disciples. For the disciples in the church in Antioch were the ones who for the first time were called Christians. It was the church that sent out Barnabas and Paul on their first and subsequent missionary journeys. So it was, in a sense, the church that was at the heart, or at the start, of what was perhaps the greatest Christian missionary advance ever. And it's a church from which there is much that we can learn in our desire to be a church through which God expresses his worldwide concern. So just turn, if you have a Bible near you, to Acts chapter 11 and read what Luke has to say about this church. Firstly, in verses 19 to 21, we see that it was a church that began because people had a missionary concern locally. A church that began because people had a missionary concern locally. We read here not so much of a planned missionary outreach, but we read about Christians scattered from Jerusalem because of persecution. We read of Christians who, wherever they found themselves, had a concern to reach the people around them. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. These were people who, wherever they went, had a concern to reach the people around them. That's at the heart of missionary work. And our missionary concern as a church is going to spring out of our missionary concern as individuals for people around us. And notice their missionary concern expressed itself in the proclaiming of a message. Telling the message. Telling the good news about the Lord Jesus. At the heart of missionary concern is a message. That's why in our preparation for our own parish mission and in our meeting next Sunday, we're going to be focusing upon the message that's at the heart of all missionary outreach, the message of the good news of the Lord Jesus. And we could perhaps ask ourselves how confident we are of that message, how confident of our own understanding of it, how confident of our ability personally to explain it and proclaim it to others. Perhaps the outstanding thing about these men who started the church at Antioch was their concern for the outsider. I think that's mainly why Luke records the story. They were telling the good news about the Lord Jesus to Greeks also. Up until then, Christians had been Jews and tended to just take the message to Jews. But these men took the message to those around them who were unlike them, the outsiders. I suppose one of the great tests of a church that wants to express God's worldwide concern is whether that church can express God's concern and love to people in its own environment who are different, to the outsider. I remember very clearly when we were going through Acts as a church some time ago, and John was speaking on Acts 15, verse 19, where James stands up in the Council of Jerusalem and he says, "It's my judgment that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God." And John reminded us of our responsibility as a church to not make it difficult for the outsider, the person who's, in a sense, culturally removed from the Christian church, to come into our fellowship, to be drawn in. These were men who had a concern for the outsider. Let's ask ourselves as a church and as individuals on this missionary gift day whether we have a concern for the outsider locally. But then the other great thing about the start of this church was, as it's recorded in verse 21, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. It wasn't primarily in the people themselves that was the cause of this church's growth and its reflection of God's glory. It was because the Lord's hand was with them. And we read in verse 23, when Barnabas came from Antioch, he arrived, he didn't say, "My, what a marvelous church this is. What a fine new extension they've built." He didn't say, "My, these people are good evangelists." We're told that when he arrived and saw evidence of the grace of God, he was glad. When Barnabas came to the church in Antioch, he said, "What tremendous evidence of the grace of God." Not the ability of men, not programs and plans and committees, important though all these things are, but that in and behind it all, the grace of God, the Lord's hand was with them. If we're going to be a church through which God expresses his worldwide concern, brothers and sisters in Christ, we must pray and lay hold of God for God to work in our midst. The grace of God. The church was not only a church that was born out of missionary concern, but it was a church that was built up by missionary concern. Verse 22. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. Notice the feeling of responsibility which the church in Jerusalem felt for these Christians at Antioch. I think that's a lovely feature of this passage. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. I think it's a great thing when, as a church, we express concern and interest in the growth of churches in other parts of the world. It's tremendous, isn't it, to hear this morning in our service of Christians in Egypt. It helps us. It helps us to express the fellowship that we feel and should feel with Christians in other parts of the world. And the Christians in Jerusalem felt that same concern and interest in the church in Antioch, this young church that was beginning and growing up. And they sent Barnabas. They didn't send anybody. They chose one of their respected leaders and gifted teachers to go to encourage the church. We must look to send the best to help and encourage churches elsewhere that we're concerned for and want to express our fellowship to in the gospel. I was speaking in the summer at a church in Clapham Park that had just decided to send six of its keenest members, including one of its elders, to a church in Brixton, which was struggling. And these people were just going to transfer their membership. What a tremendous expression of missionary concern. And notice when Barnabas and then later Paul came to Antioch, how they built up the church. There are two outstanding things here that we're told. First, when Barnabas arrived, he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. In the AV, it puts it like this. He exhorted them that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. When Barnabas arrived, in order to see this church in Antioch built up, what did he do? He exhorted them that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. And if we want our church to be built up, then we, as individuals in the church, with purpose of heart, must cleave unto the Lord. Perhaps that's what we need most, just individually, to set our hearts again on developing and growing in our own personal relationship with the Lord. Then we're told that they met with the church and taught great numbers of people. Teaching was central to what they did to build up the church. And it must always be that way. Whenever the Lord Jesus was with a crowd of people, he taught them. Paul and Barnabas taught the church in Antioch. And it grew up. It was built up, both in numbers and in stature. If any church is going to be built up in the Lord, built up to the place where it can really grow in showing missionary concern, it must be built up on teaching. The teaching of God's word must remain at the center of our church's life. So it was a church that was built up with missionary help. But then it was a church also that bore fruit in missionary enterprise. And we see this both here at the end of chapter 11, the disciples, each according to his ability, verse 29, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. What a tremendous example of a missionary gift day that was, as this church in Antioch expressed God's worldwide concern by collecting money for the church in Jerusalem and sending it to help them. And I like the fact that Luke records for us here that they sent their gift with two of their church leaders. I think perhaps we should do more of this. Perhaps it would help us as a church to strengthen our feeling of partnership with churches elsewhere in the world, if along with our gift, if perhaps as part of our gift, we thought of sending one or two leading members of our church to the church that we're trying to help, to express our fellowship. And of course, we would gain a lot too, wouldn't we, as they return. Many of you will remember the impact that it's had on our church here when Vivian visited Celia in South America. I think this is something that we could do more of. We could think of ways in which we, in our giving, could show our fellowship by sending our gift personally, as they did. They gave. They expressed God's worldwide concern by giving. Also, they were a praying church. And we read at the end of chapter 12 and on into chapter 13, when Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. In the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. They were a church that prayed. And all of us, I'm sure, know how important prayer is. Prayer for Christians in other parts of the world, as we seek to express, as a church, our worldwide concern. I would like to see prayer for missionary work a stronger part of our church's life. I know there are many who do pray regularly for missions, but I would like personally to be more faithful in praying. I've just been reading the last couple of days our latest Navigator magazine, which is about our Navigator missionary thrust from this country. There are copies of this, by the way, available on our Navigator stand in the church lounge. And by the way, on the back, there's an article written by one of my Nigerian colleagues about our work in Nigeria. But inside, there's an article about praying for missions. And I'd like to read you a quote, which is based on something that J.O. Frazier learned in his missionary work in China. And this is what it says. While Frazier was in Asia, the Great War was raging in Europe. But he also saw himself working under battle conditions in a spiritual war. He pictured himself as a lone soldier, close up to the enemy positions, armed only with binoculars and a field radio. His job was to stay put and radio back coordinates of enemy locations and to report the success of his comrades' long-range artillery bombardments. Isn't that a lovely picture of missionary work? The missionary, like Celia or Jean or Sheila, like a forward observer for an artillery regiment, close up to the enemy lines, noting key targets and radioing back so that the prayer bombardment can go in, the artillery. Because the real work of God is done by prayer. That's where the story of J.O. Frazier brings that out so clearly in the book Beyond the Ranges, if you haven't read that. Well worth reading. He talks about how the people that he was less able to visit because of the distance and the difficulty were the people for whom he prayed most and for whom he asked most prayer, and they were the people who grew most and in whom the Lord did the greatest work. Prayer bombardment. Are we committed to backing up our missionaries with prayer bombardment? Do we see them as forward, observation posts, pointing out to us targets for our prayer support. But then also, not only was it a praying church and a giving church, it was a sending church. The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The church in Antioch sent 2/5 of its leadership team overseas for missionary work. I wonder how we would feel about sending 2/5 of our PCC for missionary work. May the Lord help us to be a missionary giving and a missionary praying and a missionary sending church through which He expresses His worldwide concern. Amen.